I got a song filled with shit for the strong-willed. When the world gives you a raw deal, set you off till you scream, piss off, screw you when it talks to you like you don't belong or tells you you're in.
Hey guys, it's Eva. I'm here with another episode of Currently Binging, the podcast where I talk all things TV and movies. If you're listening for the first time, welcome. You can find us just about anywhere you listen to podcasts. We are on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud. So make sure you rate, subscribe, comment, all that great stuff because it is always greatly appreciated and it's also very helpful. So yes, let's get right into this. Now, before I even jump into this, you guys know I like to keep it all the way 100 with you guys. And if you hear a slight clicking, that is my jaw. I have no idea what's going on. I have been doing all types of exercises to get it to stop. And the microphone is just picking it up so clearly. So if you hear a little clicking, that is my jaw. Which sucks because a podcast, I have to talk. So there's that. But let's move forward and let's get into this because I am super excited to talk about today's movie. This movie stars someone who's in my top five, even top three, I would say, for me personally. And I don't know why I'm trying to be suspenseful about this because you already saw the title of the movie we're going to be discussing, which is why you clicked on it. I'm talking about Venom, and I'm also talking about Tom Hardy. You guys don't understand how much, like, even just leading up to this movie and then leaving the movie, how much I realized how much I miss seeing Tom Hardy on the big screen. Because, I mean, the last time we saw him on anything, I want to say it was on the big screen. I want to say it was The Revenant, and The Revenant came out in 2016, was that 2016, like the end of 2016, or was it the end of 2015? Either way, it's been a little bit of a minute. I mean, we've seen him on the small screen with Taboo, but haven't really seen him on the big screen. Well, we did see him in Dunkirk, which was last year, but even still, Tom Hardy to this capacity, I was just missing it, and I was greatly excited to see him in this, and I left with my Tom Hardy fill, and I'm just like, okay, what are you doing next? Because there are plenty of episodes you can go back to and listen to me just talking about why I appreciate Tom Hardy as an actor. And so I'm not going to get into that too much in this because I want to keep this flowing and short and succinct. So let's get into this. So Venom. Let's talk numbers because you guys know I like to start off with our numbers. So first of all, I did not see this opening weekend technically, but I did see it the following Tuesday because, you know, Discount Tuesday. Also, I've said this before, my weekends are getting a little too packed where I can't just go to the movie. So Tuesdays have now become my movie day in a way. So I saw this in IMAX 3D by accident. I feel like I keep by accident or accidentally doing things involving buying movie tickets. So when I saw this, because, you know, they have $5 movies on Tuesdays, and I went to AMC and I bought the ticket on Monday, and I was like, why is this $14? And I was like, well, maybe because it's 3D. So usually 3D is a little bit more, but that still seemed like a lot compared to what I've seen previously, because I felt like it was around like $8 or something like that for 3D. So I was like, whatever, get to the theater. And then he gives me my ticket because he scans my phone, gives me the ticket. Then he gives me the glasses and I'm like, these glasses look different. And then I look at the ticket and I'm like, oh my gosh, I bought IMAX 3D without even knowing that that's what I did, which is like, whatever. You guys know I like to see things in IMAX. But for me personally, just based off of this, I'm trying to think of any other movies I've seen in IMAX 3D, because I've seen IMAX, but IMAX 3D specifically. And I think I prefer, just based off of this movie, I think I prefer just IMAX alone without the 3D. And I'll get into a little bit later, but just based off of this movie, I think that's what I prefer. And this was still a pretty full movie for a 4 p.m. showing on a Tuesday. But then again, it is a discount day and the movie has just come out. So I wasn't really too surprised. Also, based on the fact, because now we're about to get to the numbers, based on the fact that this was the number one movie for this previous weekend, which was its opening weekend. So domestically, it did around $80 million dollars, and then total so far to date is done about $217 million. So that's domestic and international. And domestic internationally so far is done over $100 million. So yeah, Rotten Tomatoes 30%. And because Rotten Tomatoes is so low, I usually don't talk about the audience score that's also on Rotten Tomatoes. But just for this movie, I had to because it's in line with the cinema score. So audience score on Rotten Tomatoes, 89%. Cinema score, B+. Going into this movie now, Tom Hardy aside, going into this movie and knowing that the critic score was so low, I was a little bit concerned. But when I actually got in the theater, I was just like, okay, Eva, whatever, don't need to really think about critic reviews, because I don't know, I'm kind of getting into this space and I feel like it's coming out more and more as I keep discussing these movies, where I'm trying to find the balance between the critic reviews, because, you know, I appreciate critic reviews, especially if they make sense, because like there are critic reviews. So audience review, or someone who's just going to watch the movie, their review is going to be different from a critic review, because there's a little more technical, or it should be a little more technical. So that's why, and plus, you know, I went to school for like journalism, all that stuff. So I will always have an appreciation for those types of roles in journalism, period. But now just kind of where we are, like in time and like with the technology that we have and kind of the content that's being put out there. And just because, and I've said this before, as far as my approach with this podcast, I don't want to be viewed as a movie critic, because that's not how I shape these podcast episodes. I'm more so a person who loves movies and loves talking about them and wants to have a discussion or conversation, if you will, about it. So it's like, I have my opinions, you have your opinions, and we can all just meet somewhere in the middle. So because the critic scores were so low, I didn't read any of them. I just knew that it was low. I went in there, I was like, okay, put that aside, just watch the movie, don't even think about it. And I was even, and it's hard for me to like sit in a movie and be like, don't be too critical, like don't try to figure out why the critic score was so low or why critics rated this movie so low. But I mean, I kind of got an idea watching it, and we're going to get into some of those reasons. So this movie starred Tom Hardy, as I've already said, Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed. It was directed by Ruben Fleischer. I hope I didn't mess that up, but you guys know I suck with pronouncing names. I am sorry. The screenwriters were Jeff Pinker, Scott Rosenberg, and Kelly Marcel. And overall, I enjoy this movie. I really did. I think this would have been a good movie for the summer, because it kind of has that summer feel. You guys know how I feel about summer blockbusters, where it should just be, you go in, you watch the movie, you don't really need to think about it because it's just supposed to be fun. And this is one of those movies that I think would have been a great entry during the summer. But I also think that it's coming during October, like fall, we're going to Halloween, just based on like the character, it still fits, and it still was able to take advantage of that, because I mean, it was number one, it's opening weekend. But that being said, The storyline overall, I had some issues with. But I feel like I'm going to be saying but a lot in this. But this also ties into one of the things that I wrote down as a note. So being super transparent here, I literally just walked out of the theater watching this movie. So these are all fresh thoughts, like right on my mind. And I wrote my notes on my phone on the train ride home. So it's all pretty fresh. And I wanted to do that because I immediately after leaving the theater, I was like, I just want to go and I want to talk about this because I want to kind of get these thoughts out there. So there are a lot of things about this movie that's been getting a lot of back and forth. Now, you guys know I am not familiar with the comic books at all. I have to give this disclaimer every single time I talk about anything comic related, because otherwise it will just be like the comments will be insane, but or the feedback would be insane. But I am not familiar with the comics, but I do really much enjoy TV shows and movies based around the comic universe. So Marvel, DC, even though you guys know I lean more towards Marvel, but that's neither here nor there. But I say all that to say, I had no clue who Venom was going into this. Honestly, being even more, we're just going to get real in this episode, being even more transparent, had it not been Tom Hardy in this movie, I honestly don't know if I would have going to see it immediately. I mean, I feel like I would have eventually seen it, but probably not immediately. And there are a couple of reasons why. First one is I have no idea who Venom is. All I knew was that this was a villain. This is initially what I knew. It was a villain who was in the Spider-Man universe. That was pretty much all I knew. But then also the look of Venom, it's not my thing. I don't know if I've ever talked about I don't want to say fear, because it kind of is a fear, but my very huge dislike for reptiles, especially ones who have like the tongues that come out. I cannot see a snake on TV and then the tongue comes out because I freak out. I cannot. So that is the main reason why I probably would not have seen this. And not gonna lie, in the beginning when we first see these things, I was my eyes were half closed. And when she ate like the eel, like I couldn't even look at the eels because it's just like, oh, it just freaks me out. But when she like grabbed the eel and was about to eat it, oh my gosh, I closed my eyes. I couldn't. And I was like, I'm not gonna get through this. Like early in the movie, I was like, I'm not gonna be able to get through this. I don't think I'm gonna be able to get through this. But actually, the beginning was the worst of it. The rest of it, I was okay with. Even with the tongue coming out, because the tongue wasn't as reptile-y as it could have been. You guys know I make up words, but it wasn't as reptile-y as it could have been, which was also a plus. But yeah, so that was the main reason why I did not want to see this. But Tom Hardy, of course, won me over. And I was like, okay, we're going to get into this. So let's talk about Tom Hardy, because I think after seeing Tom Hardy in so many things, whether it's TV or movies, the one thing that people always seem to talk about is not only how good of an actor he is, because, you know, he is. You cannot deny that and you cannot argue that. Tom Hardy, like, he puts the time in to research and just completely consume whatever character that it is that he's trying to portray. But his voice is also something that people seem to really also take notice of, because he has like this weird type of like voice thing. And it kind of, in a way, sometimes it'll sound familiar in various things that he does. So like in one movie, he'll sound one way. And then in a TV show, it'll sound kind of similar. So I feel like his voice is also something that people talk a lot about. But in this, it just fit. And he not only was the Eddie character, but he was also like the Venom voice, which they did a lot of work in post-production with. But then also I was reading an article where he's talking about kind of like his influences for that Venom voice. And I believe he said like Busta Rhymes was one of the influences, which I think is hilarious. But it's just like, you, how can you not appreciate just the amount of thought and energy he puts into the character? So I was okay with the voice. I thought it fit for this character. I thought that the humor in this, if you will, was, I kind of, at one point while watching this, I was like, it kind of feels a little bit satire-y. And I don't know if it's supposed to, but then afterwards when I was leaving, because I was Googling, trying to figure out how many post-credit scenes there were, and this article came up, and it was kind of talking about the feel of the movie, and reading that article, I was like, oh my gosh, this is all literally correct. They were talking about how the movie, it kind of feels like one of those movies that we used to watch in the 90s, those old comic book movies, where before we got to like this whole, these whole universes, which is where we are today, and it's these big things, and every single movie is trying to make a statement and all of this, and it's like either super political or speaking to issues that we're dealing with in our day to day. But if you go back like to the 90s, when we got those comic movies, they didn't really make a lot of sense. They were pretty bad movies, but they were enjoyably bad movies, if that makes sense. So that article, I think, really hit the nail on the head as far as kind of the style and the feel of this, because it's a bad movie, but it's a bad movie that you have fun watching. Like, just seeing the banter between Eddie and Venom, once Venom finally, like, I don't know what's the word, because he doesn't consume his body, but, like, inhabits his body, and seeing, like, the banter of them back and forth, I loved it. I think as far as the structure of it, the beginning was a little bit slow, trying to figure out exactly, like, where we were going in it, but then once we start to get the ball rolling, Eddie goes to investigate Life Foundation, thanks to some help from Dr. Dora Skirth, who was played by Jenny Slate. He goes up there, and then we get the whole scene when Venom inhabits his body. And then from there, it's like, it picks up. But outside of like the slow pace in the beginning, just in general, like Riz Ahmed as Carlton Drake, our scientist villain, if you will. This also kind of played into that whole, like the whole plot of the story just not really being strong enough, and kind of being like, oh, we have this like scientist who's the super villain, but he also has a god complex type of a thing, which I think Riz Ahmed did good playing him. But it was just also, it's just all fit to like, this is really bad, but still I'm enjoying watching this type of a feel for it. Also, the fight scenes, you guys know I love me some fight scenes. And now we're going to talk about why I don't think I enjoy at least watching action in 3D on IMAX, because it just looked a little bit blurry. And it was some things where I kind of had to like turn my body to try to like see if I could get some of that blurriness out. So I don't know if it was just the theater I was in or if it was just overall like how they did it, but it just looked a little bit blurry in some of it. And then I did like how we will see when Venom starts to like overtake his body and then he becomes like Venom. I think they did a good job of that, even with Carlton Drake and the one that was overtaking him, the symbiote or whatever. You guys know science and all that stuff is like, oh. But anyway, the symbiote who overtakes Carlton Drake, also just like showing that, like, that between them overtaking the body and then going back to the actual person, I think that that looked really good as well. But yeah, the story, I think, had some issues, which then brings me to my next point, because the consensus, at least on Rotten Tomatoes, is that the issue that a lot of critics had was that Spider-Man, we did not see Spider-Man at all. And this is supposed to be someone who is in the Spider-Man universe. He's 8, which I just found out. And I don't know if this is just like comic nerds who are like, this is my favorite from the Spider-Man universe. And now they finally have a movie. But apparently he's like a, Venom is like a beloved anti-hero. So the issue with the Chris is that there was a lack, or there was no Spider-Man, and they felt like this needed Spider-Man. Do I think that Venom needed Spider-Man? I don't. And let me tell you why I don't think this movie needed Spider-Man, because it's about Venom. And I think if we would have had Spider-Man in there, there are a couple of reasons why we couldn't have our current Spider-Man in this one, because it would have just completely like messed up the entire MCU storyline, because right now Spider-Man does not exist thanks to Thanos and his snap. So that would have been messed up. But also, I think just having Spider-Man in there would have in general taken away from the story of Venom and us, like, because it, with Spider-Man not being in this movie, it gives us a chance to, especially for those of us who have no idea who Venom is and are not really sure why we're sitting in the theater watching this movie, it gives the movie space and time to, like, get us to the point where we're like, okay, I could see another Venom movie. I would want to see this universe expand type of a thing. Whereas Spider-Man being in this, I think, would have taken away from Venom's story. And it would have been a Spider-Man story. Because there's no way it could be a Venom movie and then Spider-Man just shows up for a little bit to fight him. Because I still don't think that would work. I still think it would take away from the Venom story. So that's why I don't think that this needed Spider-Man. But as far as the future, because I know the director had talked about it, and one of the producers also, about a possible Spider-Man, like wanting Spider-Man in a future movie, and then what version of Spider-Man. Everyone's like Tom Holland, because, you know, I really like, you guys know, I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man right now. So that's neither here nor there. But if they were to have Spider-Man show up, I would want it to be Tom Holland's Spider-Man, because I would want to see him in Tom Hardy, like their interaction on screen, because I think that that would be a great interaction. But as far as the future, I would not be opposed to seeing Spider-Man in the future. I just think for right now, especially since this is a movie that's supposed to get us familiar with this character and kind of build this separate universe, I don't think we need him. Also, I think it's a good idea for Venom to kind of have his own thing right now, because everything in the comic world is like pretty, is so universe driven, and it's kind of to the point where some of these universes are like getting to the point of exploding, which is why I'm glad for the MCU that after our next Avengers, we're kind of going to have a reset and we kind of move into the new generation and whatever that looks like, and we can kind of like, it'll still, those old storylines from the first 10 years of the MCU will still be there, but we can kind of trim down the stories, if you will, which I don't know if that's what Marvel plans to do, but I'm just saying that. And then we also have like DC, and they're trying to build their universe. And I just feel like everyone's trying to like stuff all this stuff into a universe. Whereas with Venom, it's like, he's not really that greatly known. He's not tied to any existing universe as of yet. And I feel like that also kind of helps, because there's always this talk about if there's comic book fatigue or if there's comic movie fatigue. And I think building that universe out in a separate way and in a different way kind of helps keep that comic fatigue at bay. Even though you guys know me, I'm like, I don't think there could be comic movie fatigue. I mean, I'm not there yet. And this is, we've been doing this, I mean, even before this podcast, I've been watching these movies for a long, 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 long time. Like, literally, almost as long as I've been alive, I've been watching movies based on comic books. So, for as old as I am, I'm not fatigued yet. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could happen, but me personally, I don't think it will happen. But that's neither here nor there. So that's how I feel as far as like the future of the Venom universe, if you will. I mean, would it be a Venom? Whatever. That's how I feel about the Venom universe, which also ties into the mid-credit scene, which we see Woody Harrelson, and he's playing someone in the Spider-Man universe, and his name is Carnage. I have no idea who Carnage is. I have no idea how this will all tie as far as in a sequel movie. I do know just from like a quick article that I read that in the comics, the way that Venom and Carnage meet is different than how they met in this mid-credit scene in the movie. So it'll be interesting to see what they do there. And then even Woody Harrelson showing up with this like ridiculous red hood on. It was just, this was like a bad movie that you enjoy, but was so comic booky. Like, it was so comic booky, but in a bad, good way. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I'm just going to put it out there. So getting to this rating, because the rating was also something that people were complaining about. They thought that it should have been rated R, but it was rated PG-13. One of the producers, A.V. Arad, which hopefully I did not mess that up, the name of, but they were pretty much talking about the rating and where, like, it did not need to be rated R. Like, you don't need to see Venom, like, ripping the head off and then, like, gnawing on it, and you just see, like, guts everywhere. And you don't need to see, like, the super violent crime, because Venom doesn't need to be defined by how violent he is, because at the end of the day, he's essentially supposed to be this anti-hero, which I completely agree with. And this was before I even read that article. I was sitting there in the theater, and I was like, I don't think this needs to be rated R. I think if this was rated R, it would have verged more towards horror. And I don't think that that's something that I want to see. And you guys know, I am not a horror movie fan at all. And I think just with Venom, how Venom looks, and then the type of violence that Venom could have, I don't think it needed to be rated R. And I think with Deadpool, it's different, because Deadpool is just like this funny character who's being funny while doing these super, super vicious acts to people. I don't want to say vicious acts, but like slicing people up and all that stuff and seeing all this blood. For some reason in Deadpool, it works. And also Deadpool still kind of looks like a human, even though Venom, we have Eddie, but when Venom is Venom, it just looks like a creature. So I think with that and then making it rated R, I think it would have just been too much. And the producer was also talking about how like making it PG-13 makes it open and available for people of all ages, pretty much all ages nowadays, who can go and watch this movie, and you don't have to kind of guard people from it. And honestly, this was rated PG-13, and I think that a kid would be okay watching this. And you guys know how I feel about taking your kids to see things that they don't need to be seeing. But for this one, I think that they would have been fine. But yeah, so that's the rating. I think PG-13 is completely fine. I think this also opens it up for if they do want to bring in Tom Holland, because then you can also bring in that fan base that are, who maybe they didn't see Venom, but they do watch Spider-Man, and then they want to see Spider-Man and Venom. So you can also bring that in. You know, I'm just throwing that all out there. But yeah, what else? Some weird things that stood out to me while I was watching this was the car chases in SF. So apparently this was filmed mostly in Atlanta. There were some shots in New York and SF, but like they made it look like SF. And the thing about SF is, or San Francisco, is that we have all of these hills. So watching this car chase happen when Eddie is on the motorcycle and he's being chased by Carlton's goons, and just seeing them throwing these vehicles over these hills, I was just like, oh my gosh, if this was for real, people would be dead immediately because those hills were so steep. I don't know why that stood out to me, but I was just like, in real life, I don't think there would be this type of a car chase in the middle of SF down these steep hills. But yeah, what else? I pretty much talked about the storyline. For me, the storyline, it felt a little flat, and I think that if anything, is the one thing that for me was a negative, because you guys know I like a solid storyline, and the storyline was just, it was pretty it was pretty much like a generic storyline, like, oh, this is how he becomes this person, and then he beats this like kind of weak villain who becomes like a supposedly bigger villain who we don't really, like, we kind of see a little bit throughout the movie, but we really don't know the extent of what this villain symbiote can do. So when we get to the end and he's now inhabiting Carlton Drake's body, it's like, oh, wait a minute. So he's like super strong. And then even still, I don't know. I don't want to get too far into the storyline part of the movie, but for me, it was a little bit flat, and it was a little bit like, you definitely have to suspend some disbelief while watching this. I feel like I didn't really talk about Michelle Williams, her character in this, which also kind of goes into the plot of this as well, but she played Eddie's significant other in the beginning, and then they end up breaking up because he went into her email and used it to do an attack interview on Carlton, and it went all types of wrong. So his career is messed up, her career gets messed up, and so she immediately breaks up with him. Then she ends up with this doctor, Dr. Dan, who I enjoyed Dr. Dan for how simple he was. I mean, there wasn't really a lot to his character. He wasn't really a well-rounded character, but I did appreciate like that he was genuinely concerned about Eddie, which, I mean, given the situation, probably wouldn't have went that way, but I did appreciate that. But Michelle Williams as her character, she too, it was just so, this is going back into this film, like one of those comic movies from back then. Cause just like, oh, I'm mad at you. And now, oh my gosh, you're sick. I want to help you. And then I'm going to do this like weird thing and let Venom inhabit me so I can get him back to you. And then it was just, yeah, we're going back into the storyline hole, and I don't want to get too deep into it. But one thing I did want to talk about, because I know that I have ripped, and you guys know I don't like to make DC and Marvel comparisons, but I mean, I feel like it's inevitable given the genre that we're in. Like, they're going to be compared, so let's just do it. So I did want to talk about, because I know I pretty much hated Batman v Superman. I liked Justice League a little bit better, but it still was like, I had my issues with it. And I think the difference between those movies, specifically Batman v Superman, because that one I really had issues with, versus Venom, because they're bad movies. But the difference is, I think that Batman v Superman was so bogged down by its darkness that it was hard to enjoy the movie for me personally, versus Venom and even Justice League, because Justice League had some moments. It had its dark moments, but had some light moments that helped it still helped you enjoy some points of the movie. But with Venom, and the movie is called Venom, they could have went all types of dark with it, and it could have been heavy and dreary and weighted down. But I think for the most part, what they did do a good job of was keeping it above the line where you don't feel weighed down by the feel of the movie, if that makes sense. Hopefully it does. But that for me is the difference between Venom and Batman v Superman specifically, is that it didn't have that weighted feeling to it, and I could enjoy the movie and just like suspend all reason and just go all in and be like, okay, I could watch this movie. Now, would I watch this movie again in theater? Probably not, just being honest. But I would watch it like at home if it was on TV and there was nothing else on, I would watch it. Or if I was doing one of my Tom Hardy content binges, because, you know, sometimes I will take one actor and just watch a bunch of stuff from them in one sitting. So if I was doing that, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch Venom, I would probably do that. But for me to go back to the theater and watch it, I personally wouldn't. But I'm sure there are people out there who would. So overall, I mean, I enjoy the movie. As far as what I would give it, as far as a letter grade, I would give it a solid B, because it was enjoyable. It felt fun. It felt comic booky, but it did have some issues with the storyline, and also had some issues for me personally with some of the fighting scenes. And then we had like this whole CGI symbiote fight scene as well, which is like, it was cool to look at, but then it was kind of like, okay, that's enough. So yeah, so I'm giving it a solid B. I also did want to mention, because the post-credit scene was a scene from the upcoming movie, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and honestly had no intentions of seeing this movie at all. It's an animated movie. I honestly have not seen any trailers before seeing Venom for this. So it just was like, I don't know, whatever. Maybe when it comes out digitally, I'll watch it. But there was just no reason for me to want to see it. And then seeing the trailer and then also seeing this post-credit scene made me be like, okay, I think I do kind of want to see this, because it does look interesting. So just putting that out there. So there are two post-credit scenes. There's a mid-credit scene, which more so speaks to a possible Venom sequel. And then there's this post-credit scene, which pretty much gives us a view or a sneak peek of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So yeah, that is all I have for you guys. I want to know what you guys thought about Venom. Did you like it? Did you dislike it? What did you like and dislike? Let me know. You can find me on all social media at InHerGlam, InHerGlam. And I will talk to you guys in the next one.